Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Custom is we will take our anchor scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 to 4 is our first anchor scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 to 4. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. Can you project the N? Do you have NKJV? I want the one that will give me love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you let's read the KJV. And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we end it there. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. Now, there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of what, Cyrene, and Manen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Last reading, Psalms chapter 89, verse 7. We are all going to read it together as usual. Psalms. Psalms chapter 89. Are we there? Verse 7. God is, we are reading together. Let's go. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about. Again, let's take it. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Hallelujah. Today, we still want to continue with protocols of corporate prayer, part 2. And today, even though there is much to talk about, I'm going to speed up because I don't want us to dwell much here. There's a lot to look into our whole concept of teach us to pray. And one thing I want you to notice that even though we are talking about prayer, I've expanded the course that it covers many things that associate with prayer. So you'll find out that in this course of study, you understand the concept of dominion. We are looking at, we found something about priesthood. It is expanded. So you find out that the whole orientation, even though it's about teach us to pray, there are other aspects of your Christian life that is also attached, not maybe into details, but giving you the scope of understanding. Hallelujah. So stay on course and follow me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. As your word comes with power and might, we pray that your word will have its residence in our hearts and cause us to be people who are of light and show forth your light in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, for us to be able to follow with what we are doing, let's do a quick recap. Last week, we started with the protocols of prayer. And the protocols of prayer, we said that in as much as corporate prayer is very beneficial, there are many things that corporate prayer can do for us. It's very important that we understand that we cannot be very efficient. The word, keyword is what? Efficient and effective in corporate prayer if we don't observe certain protocols that comes along with corporate prayer. Are you there with me? So we can gather together to pray as we seek to what? Do something corporately, draw from the corporate principle. It's going to give us a minimal or nothing if we don't observe certain protocols as stated in scripture. So we want to be very efficient when we gather together to pray. We want to be very effective when we gather together to pray. And you find out that when the principle of protocol prayers were established, you remember the life, the gathering at the church in the book of Acts chapter 4. The Bible said the foundations were what? Shaken. And their prayer was attended to. We read about the book of Acts chapter 16, that of Paul and Silas. The Bible said when they began to worship and in prayer, the chains broke off, doors were opened. That is the protocol of what? Prayer being fully observed. We want to have that kind of experience in our generation. When Christians gather to pray, and there will be signs. There is a history that we've all been talking about Samankese in early 1927, the 90s. That was the church, Christ Apostolic Church, right? Apostle Nim and his team. A history gives us that they prayed and physical fire. Hey, I said what? Came down. We went there, we all saw it. When we went from Samankese Crusade. And water could not quench it. In fact, those who were praying didn't know there was fire on top of them. Those outside saw fire, throwing water at them, and the fire never died. What kind of understanding did they have? What kind of principles did they observe? That such things. You see, sometimes when I remember the stories that my old man, my late father, used to tell me about their journey in Christian life, I marvel what kind of Christianity we are practicing now. Eh? I marvel. Ah, Jesus. How did my father used to tell me the first time he prayed for somebody who was dead, came back to life. He called 7 of his prayer. He has a prayer force. And he called them. He was a presiding elder. And they went to the... They told him that the woman was no more. And then they went to the house. They surrounded the woman. And they start praying. 30 minutes they were praying. And a word came to him. A word came to his head. He quoted the scripture. Then they prayed the scripture. In 2 hours later, the woman sneezed.
That was all.
And I one day my mom will be here, and I'll let her share, because my mom was part of the prayer team. Just as I did to Rita, the same thing my father did to my mom. So it was, I was following scriptures. My mom was part of the church, part of the prayer team, and ended up as the wife. So, and my mom will tell you, at least I've personally witnessed two people that my father has prayed for. They were dead. They came back to life. One of the gentlemen was a friend of mine. And do you know, most of the times when my father is doing that, he does that with my mom or there's somebody with him. Corporate prayer. It's only one person that he told me, that is his cousin's son. He's also called Bless, who died in the night, 12 a.m. They were on the same compound, and they came to call him, "Pastor, my son is dead." And my father in the room alone, because they were not spiritual people, prayed with that son from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. And when it was 4 a.m., the boy came back to life. He's still alive. Bless is still alive. He was dead. But the other ones I've witnessed, and the testimony himself he gave me, he's always with somebody doing that. So what is this thing about corporate prayer that our fathers knew and they know it and they could leverage on it and we are not benefiting from it? Today somebody is sick, just a sort of headache. We can gather as a church, pray for headache, and the headache is not going. Why? It's that there's something they know we didn't know. There are certain things they are observing we are not observing. So we are not benefiting from it. You don't have a challenge on your head, but me, I have a challenge. Because if man who gave birth to me, God could use him this way. If God has not used me beyond it, then I've undermined the grace of God upon his head. Hallelujah. We will get there. They are not so special than us. They are ordinary people like us. We will get there. Amen. So last week, we found out that the first principle or protocol we need to observe, are you with me? Is the protocol in the name of what? Jesus. And we said that a gathering that is in the name of Jesus, a gathering according to his will and within the scope of what? Authority. And we saw that not because the name of Jesus is mentioned that it means that Jesus is there. No. Then we came to the second point, the principle of what? Agreement. Then we looked at what? Oneness of what? Heart. Oneness of what? Thoughts, which is the same as what? Mind. So we still want to continue with the principle of agreement. The third aspect of the principle of agreement. For a corporate gathering to be very effective and efficient, principle of agreement, rule number three, is that there should be oneness in spirit. So we can have oneness in what? Heart. Remember what we said about that? There should be the divert or purpose. So when we gather here and your purpose for gathering here today, I like the Bible studies you're doing. You are having a different team. Whilst we are dealing with a team over here, you are diluting the corporate atmosphere. There should be oneness of what? Heart. The Bible said with one heart, they prayed. It means that they had only one purpose. And that is what we call oneness of heart. So when you and I are having one purpose, it is oneness of what? And we look at the aspect of thought. Oneness of thought. We all have the same objective, like how we see things. It's not different. So although we have the same purpose, maybe I'll be seeing things differently. And I told three things that can affect your thought. What are the number one? Teachings, observation, and what? Company. So if you want to see the thought of a man, how the thought of a man is shaped, look at who is teaching him. Which company is that person involved in? Who are the friends? You know the thought. You know, there's this thing that they said, the highest parliament in the world. Do you know the highest parliament of the world? It's the saloon. If you're a man, especially a single man, and have an issue with your lady, and they take you to that parliament, it takes divine intervention for you to have your case settled. Ladies, do you agree with me? Are the ladies in the house? I mean, is it true? The strongest parliament in the world is the saloon. Is it true? It's not true. Guys, be advised. If your matter go to the saloon, God will help you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Oneness of thought. So you see the company the person belongs to. If that person's company, you see the thought, the thinking pattern, you see it over there. And observation, what the person sees, it forms the thinking pattern. If we can be very efficient, that's why it is important to teach people, build and have the same company. The Bible said they went back to their own company. And it was in that own company that they were able to generate the efficiency in corporate prayer. We can pray with everybody, but if you want to be very efficient, you have to be very mindful of these things. What I can do in prayer with Elder Prince, Elder Bliss, some of us over here, because of the longevity and because of the place we have been, we are at one place, we observe the same thing, we listen to the same thing, belong to the same company. The impact we can make through prayer, if I go to a different place with different people, it will not happen. It will take time to be very efficient like that. Who have ever witnessed that before? How many of you, I don't know, have gone to any other gatherings apart from All for Christ gathering before? Oh, let me see by hand. I've gone for a camp meeting outside of All for Christ camp meeting. I've gone for some before. How was it? It's not that the place, there's no God. But the company, no. So you find out that even though you are very prayerful, the efficiency and effectiveness of the prayer gathering there is not as how you get it at where you have been. You are your company is. Because the singleness of what? Thought. Hallelujah. Now, oneness in spirit. Oneness in spirit talks about the witness of the spirit at a corporate atmosphere that establishes the truth. This is very important. Follow me. There are certain things we trivialized in corporate gathering, and one of them is oneness in spirit. Let's read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. Let's see what Apostle Paul said about oneness in spirit. Said, for by one spirit, are you following me? Are we all baptized into what? One body. Whether ye be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So, geographical location, whatever church you belong to, are you following me? If I come with you and we want to do something corporately, there should be an agreement in the spirit. There should be a witness. Because we are all drinking from one spirit, we are all baptized into what? One spirit. I'm going to show you the danger of dealing with people who you don't agree with in spirit. So, oneness in spirit establishes the atmosphere of truth. The atmosphere of truth. In John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and not and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is in the spirit that it is what? The spirit that beareth what? Witness, because the spirit is what? Truth. You see, you can go to an atmosphere where the prayer orientation, what is coming from there, you find out this is not true. Are you with me? Are you with me? I watched a video where the church members were instructed to come with Cain. I know you've seen that video. For a prayer meeting, you know, they came with Cain and said that day they are going to lash. Oneness in spirit. They believe that they have been able to find truth. So the question is, that the truth in dealing with the devil? Is that scripture? How can you be fruitful in that kind of prayer atmosphere? oneness in spirit. Are you following me? The point is the truth. So oneness in spirit is that what the atmosphere operating over is the spirit of what? Truth. Some people can call for prayer meeting, you can go for a prayer gathering, and you find out that the truth by which they are standing on to work is questionable. So the question is, where did they get that from scripture that if you want to deal with the devil, you buy kings? Somewhere with matchets. They are cutting off the head of the witches. But in the following week, you find out the witch that they cut off the head has grown 3 more heads. And people who exhaust energy, in fact, put on all their energy all night, praying that kind of prayer with sword. I pray for you. You will not be a victim of that kind of prayer gathering. Oneness in spirit. Therefore, what I call truth cannot be different from what you call truth, because access to the things of the kingdom is channeled through one spirit. Very careful. When we are talking about oneness in spirit, means that the truth by which we are operating with. So even though we will gather with one purpose, okay, and we have the thought, but the question is, do we agree on the truth? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. I don't know if what I'm you are following what I'm trying to say. Do you get it? Truth. Truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. For through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the earth, the Father. So if we are praying together by the spirit of agreement, which is oneness in spirit, what I pick up as true must be the same thing you pick up as truth. I don't know if you have seen the picture I'm trying to paint over here. So you can't tell me that by revelation we have to use cutlass to deal with witches in prayers. If I pick up, if we will pick up, we will know the truth. Have you seen why many people have prayed and prayed and they are still in the bondage? Corporate prayer gatherings. It's because there's the oneness in spirit is not a prayer thing there. The information about the truth. So when you are going to, I'm being serious. When you gather to pray, investigate the witness of the spirit. Some people are ignorant too, and it's dangerous. Praying with an ignorant person is dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Therefore, if we gather at a place, a corporate gathering, to pray, that God will minister to us in prayer. When I'm talking about prayer, not only think about their kinds. I told that worship and even praises is part of what? Prayer. When we gather to pray corporately, and what I know as truth is different from what you know as truth. I hope you get the point here. I'm talking about oneness of spirit. So when I meet Elder Prince and Elder Blaise and we want to pray, the truth I know is the same as what he knows. That's what the oneness of spirit is established. That's where the synergy is established. So I cannot come here with an idea that if I don't move my shoe, God will not come here. Hello? And you also say that if I don't put on scarf, the prayer God will not answer. You see why our corporate prayers are diluted. Because one person believes that if we don't scarf our head, the angels will not come. Another person said, it is not this physical head. So there's no oneness of truth. There's no oneness in spirit. But the question is, if indeed we are all operating by the same spirit, we all have access to the Father through one spirit. There's no different spirit to access the Father, one spirit. So what happened is that if one of us, there's a diverse views of truth in our prayer gathering, what is happening is that in that instant, another spirit has been what? Introduced. Do you know there's something called another spirit? Do you remember essential doctrines of the faith? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Let's read it. Essential doctrines of the faith. You can be given another gospel, you can be given another spirit. So you find that there's spirit of familiarity. Familiar spirits are there in the operations, diluting the work. Every man praying. Hey, what a second, that's the 1 Corinthians. Yeah, forgive me. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. For if ye that cometh preach another hot, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another, if ye receive another hot spirit, which ye have not received. So another spirit can be in an operation. So when we talk about corporate gathering, we must be one in spirit. The simple thing I want to tell you is that what I know as truth, you should have the same thing as truth. It shouldn't be different. There are so many funny things that today, many funny rules we are using at prayer gatherings, I don't even get it. Some people believe that if there is no akwanchere, God will not work. To some extent that if they don't get oil, there will not be a move of God. Where from all these things? So we found out that Christians, you see, denomination is not wrong. And I'm not, it's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about generality. It is very difficult to pray with another church member because of the orientation they have about prayer. The spirit of truth. Oneness in spirit is not there. If oneness of spirit is established in the body of Christ in Ghana here, like whatever we do every Sunday, we have seen the impact. Follow me. Because this person believes that the way we can deal with the nation is by this kind of revelation. And this person is also saying this different thing. So at the end of the day, we pray a lot, but little impact is seen. We must stand on the truth. We all have one access to the Father. We have access to the Father through one spirit. So your spirit must bear witness with my spirit. And that must establish the truth. So in the book of Acts chapter 13, the Bible said, they were, look at the whole scripture. Now, when you read that scripture, so powerful. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Let's go back there. Over Labashaya. Now, they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, and that was called Niger and Lucius or what? So you see that at that Antioch, they were not all from Antioch. Look, they were telling where they were coming from. You see, Lucius was from what? Cyrene, right? And what? Manin, which is had been brought up what? So this is, they are telling their different areas that they are coming from. Is that not it? They were different people from different places. Are you there? Are you with me? Read on. And so, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, how did they know it was the Holy Ghost? Separate unto me. Because there is oneness in spirit, when God spoke, they knew it was God who was speaking. Do you know why we doubt each other in the church? Do you know why we doubt each other in the body of Christ right now? It's because there's no oneness in spirit. Your truth is even from my truth. But it cannot be possible in the house of God. So God finds it difficult. We are making it difficult for God to dwell in our midst as a body. When I'm talking, it's not only even in the church here. Denominational level, we are making it difficult for God to join us in our corporate gathering so we can benefit corporately. Why? Because there's no oneness in spirit. Your truth is different from my truth. But we thank God for Daddy Joe, who has carefully guided us that what I know is not different from what you know. So when I come and tell that if it has to do with patterns of the bloodline. When somebody comes right now with an issue of patterns of the bloodline, you know what to do. Also, do I lie? Where will you go to? Resolving spiritual conflict or coffer. Come on. You know what to do. You see, that is what we call oneness of the spirit. So when you come to me,
The way I'll handle you in terms of dealing with something spiritually is the same thing he's going to do. So when I call him and I come, that okay, I've traced a part in the bloodline of somebody's life. We want to pray. Do you know what? That we already have an agreement in the spirit. We know where we are outsourcing the power from.
I pray for you. And I pray for this church. See, I want you. See, that is why you have to be very serious. You have to cooperate. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Don't come here with foreign spirits. And this pastor said that. Don't move from house to house. You create division in the spirit. Be fed in one house, so that oneness of spirit can be produced. So that we can benefit from corporate prayer gatherings. So what I believe in prosperity prayer, the prayer topic I raised concerning prosperity, you know, say, pastor, the other pastor said this. So your spirit does not witness with my spirit. But the truth is that no matter what, the truth is one. The truth is one. And the truth is in the word of God. Not what man of God has said. I always remember what Caesar said when last time I was leading the Bible studies. He said, my pastor is the living word. Is that not it? I pray for you that you be delivered from that in the name of Jesus. You are not here. You see, that's why you have to come for Bible studies. He had a friend. He asked the lady friend why she doesn't have Bible studies. He said, oh, there's no need to study the Bible because the pastor is the living word. I'm not the living word. I am not the living word. Please go and study your Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. So when there is oneness in spirit, then you can see that the sword of the spirit, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, the sword of the spirit can be very effective. You see, the reason why most of the times when we go to war spiritually, corporately, we are not able to be offensive because our sword are blunt. It means that there is no truth. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So the revelation which I stand upon to pray is different from the revelation somebody else on the same topic. Weird revelations. Do you know that people believe that when you come for gatherings like this, they don't need to pray? Their own is to watch what the pastor will do. Give them a country and then they will go. Sometimes you are even making it difficult for someone to have to even yield to those kind of things. I don't remember the last time I told somebody to do something in. Because I want to bring your mind to something. Oneness in spirit. The truth. Hallelujah. Time is fast spent. I want to quickly move on to two broad topics. So when we stand to pray, there will not be conflict of what? Spiritual witness. So when we say the spirit of agreement or the principle of agreement, number one, we agree in our hearts. We have the same purpose. We agree in thought. Our thinking pattern at the same number two. We agree with the truth we know. It's not different. The truth is the spirit witness. So when I meet you and I want to pray with you, there's that synchrony. I can just connect to your network. If it was not interoperability, can you send money to Vodafone? By MTN to MTN is easy. That is how the one spirit, oneness in spirit is. It doesn't matter the network. Your whether you're using 024054059, we can still transfer money. I pray for you. See, we're going to benefit from corporate prayer. We are going to shake things in this church. You see, very soon, Pires night that you see has started like this. You see the impact of it very soon. People come for Pires night and they go back and the things God do for them. Not because of it, because of the synergy of God that is operating here. Through the principles of what corporate what prayer gathering. Number two. This is number three, right? We've dealt with two. So let's go to number three. The third protocol or the third principle of corporate gathering is the principle of love one another. The principle of love. Very, very important. And this is where I'm going to run fast because we have already talked about it. We have discussed it. Bible studies. Yeah.
The love one another principle is very necessary to deal with the cancer called division in the church. Division in the church is a threat to anything that comes with corporate gatherings, including prayer, such that Apostle Paul instructed the Roman church to avoid people who sponsor division in the church. Apostle Paul advised, in fact, he told, let's read it, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. What did he say? Which causes division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. When love is not in the church, in a corporate gathering, when there is no love, there is the only thing over there is division. I'm going to show division. The division you're talking about, you're going to see it. Division in the church, I don't want to talk about, but okay, let me move on. Because as a Bible studies, you have really spoken about it. So let me show you something. According to Apostle Paul, corporate Christian gatherings, including prayer gatherings, if it is done on the principle of division, it brings more harm than good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now, listen to what the Passion Translation says about this. Very powerful. Now, on this matter, I wish I could commend you, but I cannot. What matter is talking about? About them gathering together as a church for communion. This is about communion. But it's still about the principle of what corporate gathering. Follow. Because when you meet together as a church family, it is doing more harm than good. Jesus. And I've been told many times, when you meet as a congregation, divisions and cliques emerge. So now, corporate gathering, that should be a blessing to them. Apostle Paul, when you meet, it is more harmful to you to meet together. Why? Because of absence of love. Please, if you know you are a very bitter person, when we call for prayer meeting, if you don't deal with it, don't come. You come and worry our atmosphere. This one, I'll sack you. Go and tell Daddy Joe, I'll sack you. Division is a very dangerous thing. The principle of love comes to deal with division. And division is a cancer in the church. Paul said that they'll come together. So you see the deception you're giving yourself. So it is even causing harm. Said, for this cause, many are dead. If you read that 1 Corinthians, because of this division, many are dead. I'm going to show you, when we talk of division, it's not like we have this person, our friends. No. I'm going to ask you, miss Bible studies today. When you are rebellious in the church, you are causing division. When you are disloyal to the church, you are causing division. We will be doing all these things, and when we call for corporate prayer gathering, you are here. You are not talking to your friend. No, which prayer I come to pray? So you are the reason why our prayers are not being effective. You are part of it. You are the reason. And many churches don't take time to deal with these matters. You know that this person and this person, they have serious grudge. Yes, they will come for prayer meeting. God will help us. What is division? Division simply means a state of carnality. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read. 1
First Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start from verse 1. Let me show you what division is. Are you angry at pastor? We want to enjoy and be blessed by corporate prayer gatherings. If we don't deal with these things, we're not going to do it. Said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. Can you find it there? So, see, when we talk of corporate gatherings, we are calling for spiritual people, not carnal people. You need to grow out of that carnality. Or unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Move on. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for here though ye were not able to what? Bear it. Neither ye know, ye now are able. So you are even still not able to bear it. Now, that's it. For ye are yet what? Carnal. Why are they carnal? For whereas there is among you envy, number two, what? And strife, and number three, what? Divisions. That's one of the things that Elder Prince said to the Bible studies. That was very funny, but serious. The spirit of Absalom. Ministry in the ministry. So you have your own thing you are doing in the church, aside what we are doing as a church, countering what we are doing. You know, today you know what pastor preach? Don't mind him. Pastor, no. You come and see me. I'll help you out. Pastor's anointing is not up to that place. For example, come to me, have marital issues. Oh, don't go to that, did you? Let me give you a better counseling. Now that anointing is not up to that place. Hey, mercy you. Sometimes my brother-in-law will call me about some issues, and I tell, no, this one, talk to that, did you? I know my level. So, carnality, division is a state of carnality. And the Bible says carnality produces what? Death. So, when we meet together to pray, all we are doing is death. We are producing death. Do you know the antidote to division? Love.
Love. Love.
I'm going to show you. Where there is division, the principle of agreement, which is necessary protocol for effective and efficient prayer gathering, can never be attained. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read it. Where there is division, can never be attained. When there's no principle of agreement, there's no need for corporate prayer gathering. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be not divisions. So, our tongues cannot be different in the church. Our attitudes cannot be different in the church. It's a serious thing. But that ye be what? Perfectly what? Joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. I pray. You see, please don't be a reason why God will not be attending to our prayers. So when we find out, we will sack you. Hallelujah. We shouldn't go for prayer meetings or prayer gatherings and other stuff, because we must know what is going there. And the most serious scripture I feared when I was studying this thing was what you used today as your Bible studies. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus himself, listen to what he said. When there is division. Division is a state of carnality. And it affects corporate prayer gathering. Watch. When there is division, you are praying against each other. Do you remember what I told you some time ago at UCC? When I went to pray on a Amamuma field. Do you remember that? That is the spirit of division working. That is the state of division. Can you see how dangerous it is? The same Christian body on campus who we are seeking to enforce or enhance kingdom, one group went and prayed against another group for taking a venue that they wanted to use for a program. And the prayer topic is that God should frustrate that program. It shouldn't happen. And when they left, the other group also came. So you see how corporate. Because, did you understand this? You
see, you are, thank God we're in a very good church. There are some churches I know. Pastors can call other members and pray against another pastor over the associate pastor. So that he will lose favor before the senior pastor. For example, if I see that Prophet Jericho, the way that the Joe, if you come to pastors and elders page, you like that this party is Prophet Jericho. That the way they can banter on the page. Have you recorded this one? You have not enjoyed it yet. So you but I think you have seen the letter. That is how they are, the two of them. This one will come after this one. I remember very well. Prophet Jericho said he wanted during the camp meeting, I should get him a room. And he came to mention a page. And that is, are you going to hug your wig or your coat there? So you see how they are very friendly. That one pastor, I'll call that prince and said, no, that prince, the way Prophet Jericho and that is, we have to pray against it. So that he will lose favor. It's happening though. It's happening. And I'll see him, and when we call for prayer meeting, I'll see him, the prophet will be praying. The Bible said, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution. That's why when we pray, the devil uses our own prayer against us. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. No wonder Christianity is sinking. The world has become churchy and the church is becoming worldly. Why? Because there's division. So, we want a venue. We will sabotage you. We will pray against you. Christians stand against Christians and they'll meet on Sunday at church. They are the same workplace. But he is working things under the scene to make sure that his colleague is not promoted. Then Sunday, they'll meet at church. Sometimes the same church. And then they are praying to bind the devil. Which devil? The devil will receive that prayer and use it against you. I pray that God will heal the church from division. That is the state of carnality. You see, that's what pray. That's what we need to be taught to pray. Especially when it comes to corporate prayer. We shouldn't waste our, see, we should learn to know. That's why not you are angry at somebody. Before you meet a prayer meeting, solve the matter. Solve the matter. Solve the matter. The only antidote to division, which is the state of carnality, is love. Because spiritual maturity is measured by how much you love. One of us said, for the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit he's talking about. He's talking about you, your spirit. When you mature, the born-again spirit in you is matured. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So when we want to know that you are a mature Christian, you are spiritual, we will see to what extent you can love. And I'm going to show you. I'll mention them because I've already preached it. Go and look for Add-ons of Faith, Brotherly Kindness. If you check it on Spotify or the podcast platform, you find it. My message, I spoke detailed about love one another. If we are not able to live by that principle, we should forget corporate prayer gathering. It is, as Paul said, it is better we pray alone in our house than decide to come together to pray because it will cause more harm to ourselves. A house divided against itself shall not stand. And that means that we are also denying ourselves every blessing that corporate prayer gathering cannot give us. Prayer must be taught. We must adhere to principles of prayer. The God we serve is a God of order. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 20 said, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is a necessity. We need it to benefit from corporate prayers. That's if corporate prayer is done without love, it amounts to nothing. The first scripture we read, our first reading, said, if I even give myself up to be bent and I have no love, it amounts to nothing. You can speak all kinds of tongues and do what kind of thing. If there is no love, you've wasted it. That is why we said, I'm telling you the reason why Christians, we are praying a lot, we are not seeing anything. No. We gather together every day praying, God this, God that, God this, and it looks like just a little. The efficiency and effectiveness of what you are doing is we are not efficient in it. We are not effective. These are the protocols we are not observing. And I tell you, those is the reason why our fathers were able to raise their dead, because the love over there. Oh, I grew up from a very typical Painting home. My father's church where those days was only for. When you got a new member, the member doesn't have a church where he gave one to you. When we close from church, eh? I don't know, but I frowned my face when I was young till now. My dad will carry me to church. I carry his bag. You know, presiding elders. Carry my father's bag. We will leave house. The latest time we leave is 6:30. House to house visitation. Church is 9 o'clock. Come for church. Church is 9 o'clock. Come for church. The new members. When we close, those who didn't come for church, follow up. If they are sick, you pray for them. You tell me, come and stand with me. So I've been on this course for long. The thing is, there's no way I could escape ministry. The man made sure that I was trained by observation. So you see this kind of love. This person can go to this person's farm and take foodstuffs. Sometimes my father can invite church members. Oh, I have a lot of cassava. If you don't have, come, take it free. That's when they gather together to pray. Hush. Out of the abundance of love, God attend to their prayers. That's what those days they can deal with any force. Because when the devil comes, he doesn't find division. You can't use it against them. This is not a divided house. It's a unified house. They stand. So you can't find a loophole to enter the house. They may not agree on certain things, but when it comes to love, they love themselves. Disagreement doesn't mean division. What is this love one another principle? I'm going to mention them there. Thing number one. When we say we love one another, number one, we edify one another. Romans 14:19. Edify one another. Romans 14:19. Number two, we receive one another. You can't receive your own Christian brother. You're not serious. Receive one another. Romans 15 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9. Number 3. Admonish one another. Admonish. That is love. Romans 15:14. Colossians 3:16. Affectionate towards one another. There are some people here, they have never shaken anybody's hand in this church. That affection should remain in handshake. Don't go beyond that. Unless it is God who is leading you there. Affectionate towards one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 12. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Very important to forbear. But then in some cases, ask them, who are you? Who are you? That is where the division comes from. Because he cannot bear this person. Do you get it? So he stands against that person. We had a camp meeting at Sunyani. I don't know if you remember. Then we were there, and then I think it's the Catholic Church, yes. I was there, and they said a certain man was looking for me. I came, and a certain man gathered from him. I said, he's the catechist, the Reverend Father. Not knowing the auditorium they gave it to us, they have been using that place for every Sunday. They didn't tell them that they rented it to us. So Saturday evening, when he was coming for, you know, they do the preparation for mass and everything, he found out that the place had been rented out. For bearing each one another, I want to show you. So you can accommodate one another. He came to me and said, oh, this is what we use for worship. And then they said, they have rented it to you, so please, can you help us out? I said, okay, what time do you start your service? So we start our service at 7 to 9:30. I said, no problem. We will start our service at 11. So instead of starting that morning service on Sunday at 8:30, we started it at 10:30 to 11. So that they can also have the time. They didn't pay. If it was you, they use our sound, our battery, everything. But some church, forget it. We have paid for this place. You people today, you worship outside. And you call yourself, you love. You can't accommodate. You can't forbear. When we finish, say, God bless you. What church? I mentioned it. So God bless you, young man. I said, amen. Be kind to one another. Point number 6. Kindness. Ephesians 4 verse 32. Forgive one another. Very important. That is why me, if you do something I don't like, I tell you hot over there. Can I ask Francisca if you are just, you tell you. I don't skip it.
If you do it to me, you take it there. I'm fine. I'm God. However I served you, I don't care. But I don't want to hold anything against you. I don't do that. If you offend me, I tell you, I don't like it. Then I let it go. You, some of you, you have records of somebody's sin they have done 10 years ago. And you come to church. If I catch you, I'll sack you. You are the reason why God will not. You are causing. Hallelujah. Today, you don't like pastor's message. No, I want us to benefit from corporate prayer gatherings. We can't let these things be standing our way. This is where division starts from. It is, you see, there is this Akan proverb. You really know my true character when you come close to me. So you have to be easily, you have to, one thing you have to learn in the Christian home is your ability to forgive. Learn to forgive. It is we. It is pastor who offend you. It is me now who say it and you get angry. I offend you. Do you know how many times you have offended me? You don't come to church early. Do I hold it against you? Some of you, morning glory, I've never come. I'm not holding it against you. But the small thing that your brother did against you, I'm sorry. Anybody that has offended you, see the person, you still feel some pain in your heart. You have not forgiven the person. Have I given a scripture for that? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. I've expanded on these things on one add-ons of faith. So you can go for it. The next one is submitting to one another. Daddy Joe said, in the world, they are great and small. But in the sight of God, nobody is great, nobody is small. The world, which we live in, this world, they are great and small. But in the sight of God. So when you come to church, you have to see how God sees each other. There is a church I was part of in Cape Coast before I came to Accra. It's called University Interdenominational Church, UIC, Cape Coast. Full of professors and senior lecturers. Do you know they don't use their titles over there? It is only in that church I can call my lecturer brother. Oh, I took advantage. Took advantage. Oh, Brother Stephen, praise the Lord. There was no great and small in that church. And it is in that church that you see your lecturer, who when he sees you, like, but you, when he meets you, you see that you are, there's, it's that church you go that if you don't take care, you don't even notice that somebody is a vice dean of student. To the extent that even the VC used to come to church, people didn't know. You don't, if you don't know your VC, you'll be in church, you misbehave. VC will come and shake hands with you, stay in Bible studies with you, lead you in Bible studies. Sometimes we even call and follow up on you. UIC, go there. That was the church I learned that. I said, yes, submitting to one another. They leave their professorship and everything in the house when they enter church. I learned that thing from them. I said, wow, this is beautiful. Some of you, just because of masters you have done, if pastor does not add it to it, submit to one another. Submitting to one another is that we see each, we don't see ourselves better than others. That's why I'm easily approachable. None of our pastors, even Daddy Joe, is easily approachable. When you come for camp meeting, we all work together. Yeah, we are all looking for the blessing, you know. If it was not us who stopped Daddy Joe, like Crusade, you want to carry some of the machines. Some of the things, yeah. He wants to do some. He said, no, sir. That's what this one there will not allow him. You think I'll stop playing keyboard in your dreams? I'll not stop. I told them, I'll never retire. So, you see, that is a funny thing. So, because of pride, they think that instrument is played by young guys. What shows that a professor, somebody who is married with children, cannot still come for rehearsals and rehearse and come and play instruments? You can't submit to one another. Because maybe a small boy will be your choir leader, so you can't submit to him. Yeah, I'm even learning more. I'm not even done. I'll be playing. Amen. Ninth one, comfort one another. Very important. Learn to comfort one another. This is how we deal with division in the church. You can't do this thing and be divided against each other. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Comfort one another. Did I give you scriptures for submitting to one another? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. He's projecting it, eh? Okay. Last one, exhort one another. I've already spoken about exhortation and all this stuff, so exhort one another. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This principle of love one another is what we can use against a house that is divided against itself that should not stand. It's a protocol in corporate prayers. So if there's no love, there's no need for us to gather. Because it will be at our own disadvantage. The devil will use that prayer topics against us. Are you learning something today? Because I'll be calling you for a prayer meeting. You know? That's why I'm teaching you this. When you come and we test you and we find out that you are here to divide. Hallelujah. Last principle, then we quickly rush through this and close. The fourth one. These are the four things that I've seen that are very, very important when we have to do with corporate prayer. Are you blessed? Have you been blessed? Amen. The principle of orderliness. This place, I'll borrow Elder Prince's time tomorrow today to talk about this, because this matter here is becoming a strong hold in the church. And people don't know that it's affecting the church. Orderliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. This message was for the church of Corinth when they gathered together. Paul told them that let all things, including prayer meeting, be done what? Decently and in what? Order. Let's look at this principle. What is Apostle Paul trying to teach over here? What is the meaning of the word order? Among all the definitions I found in dictionary, this is what struck me so much about order. The word definition of order is conformity with law or decorum. Are we there? Conformity with law or decorum. I want to check my dictionary to be very sure what I wrote. It's very important. And I want to explain the word decorum to you. Okay? Are we there? Hallelujah. Okay. It's very important we understand. Okay. So conformity with law or decorum. The word decorum, number one, it means decency. Number two, courtesy. Number three, proprietary, etiquette. These things. When we talk of decorum, decency. And that this whole thing also means what? Order. Follow me. So I'm still defining the word what? Order. Freedom from what? Disturbance. Is the same definition from what? Order. Or general tranquility. Peace. General tranquility. Now, so when we talk about order, we are talking about when people conform to law or decorum. So it's not only about obedience. It means that when there is an order in a place, you see that there is certain laws that are observed. There are certain decency, etiquette that I observe. And I'm going to show you. The Bible says all things should be done in order and in decency. Why? Because the ultimate goal of orderliness is to give God the utmost reverence, especially in the assembly of the saints. Now, when the president of Ghana is visiting a place, do they do things haphazardly over there? Project Psalm 89, verse 7. Because the head of state
is coming in our midst, there is some level of order in our receiving of him and even in our dealings with him. The Bible said, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the earth in their midst. The reason why we put order in place, because we are receiving the head of state, is because we want to revere him. Reverence. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of what? The saints. Read. To be what? Had in what? Reverence of all them that are about what? So if there is not order, there is no reverence for God. Yes. I'm being serious here. If there is no order in a corporate gathering, it means that we have no reverence for God. You know, we don't respect your presence. Now, what reverence means respect your presence? We don't respect your presence here. We don't respect your presence. You see, order is so important that Paul instructed Titus. Titus chapter 1 verse 45. Let's read. Order. Principle of orderliness. I'm going to show you certain things we do. It has come the norm in the church now. That corporate gathering, God is not there. I miss you. Most of them, they are not there. Because there's no order. Me, there are certain programs I've told you, when I see the flyer, I will not go. God will not show up. When I say it, you think I'm lying. It's not, I'm not lying. Sweetheart, it's true. Because when you see the people coming, and the context to which the thing is being carried, you know that this thing, there's total disorder. There's no order there. There will not be order there. There's no decency there. And God has his reputation to keep him. He said food meant for children will not be given to dogs. God will not throw it there. You will not cast your pearl among swines. God does not do that. No order. I'm going to show you. See what Paul told Titus concerning the church. He said, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, either grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 5. For this cause, I have left thee in Crete. Is that the right word? That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Number one, by doing what? Ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. So even leadership in the church is to establish what? Order. I'm not even going to talk about that aspect. But Paul leaves somebody in a whole place, a whole region, territory, to make sure that there is what? Order. Because when there is no order, there is no reverence for God. And God will never appear there. God is a God of order. Therefore, he will not accept or be found in a place where order is not a priority. Don't go for prayer gathering or any corporate prayer meeting when you see disorder, leave. I'm telling you the truth. Don't lie to yourself. Leave. Leave. God will not go up here. Let me show you. Let's read. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28. Let's read this. People don't know this, you know. That's what I'm telling you. Why our forefathers, they benefited in corporate prayer gatherings. When they come to the presence of God. You see, I grew up in a typical Pentecostal. Do you know how we start church? When Osofu comes and he's the first person, he start praying. There's no time for just him. When you come, you also start. That's how opening prayer starts. Today, we are waiting for the one who is on program two. That is the time that the Kokonsa you didn't finish. You are not serious with God. This orderliness is why people like Benihin, they don't joke with certain things. If you try it, he will deal with you. You check men of God are very strict. Check. Why? It's because of people who can easily go out of order. You see why I told you to put your phone on silence? Have I ever said that before? I want to teach you something today. You see, you are very attentive today. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may what? Can you read together with me? We may what? Serve God acceptably with what? Now, do you agree with me that when there is no other leave, we serve God acceptably by what? With what? Reverence, not without reverence. And how we revere God in corporate gathering is that there is what? Order. Conformity to what? Law, decorum. Go for prayer gathering. And we are going to look at some of the things which is now the cancer in the church. Disorder. This people who don't have respect for order in church. Example number one, order of appearance. Order of appearance. When you see people's dressing at corporate gathering, you ask yourself, are we meeting Shasha Fierce here? Or thank God for the old Pentecost church. They have a cloth waiting for you at the gate. The ushers, they will give it to you. They will redress you. You can't come and disorganize the service. See, we have accommodated so many things. So, you see, when the person entered the church, see, the culture of the church is, we have to protect it. Appearance. Especially music gatherings. Sometimes I ask myself, you see, worship is prayer. Songs. We pray through songs. When you call for prayer gatherings, through songs, do you know it's a prayer gathering? Hello, do you know that? If you look at the top and down, of the one leading the worship, you can't even concentrate on God. Appearance. If you go for Hillsong, their worship gathering, will they distract you? But let me know, you know what I'm talking about. The makeup alone is shining than the bright morning star. Too much. Sometimes I have problem with some of the dressings, even men of God dress. I'm not saying we shouldn't be fashionable, but there should be simplicity, modesty in what we do. When you see the haircut, some of the people who come to lead, God will help us. This church, I'm here. Thank God, none of us here take those. You can't come and do that here. There is no order in appearance. There is no conformity in appearance. There is no conformity. Please, it's not everything that we can wear to church. It's not every appearance that is befitting a Christian. Yes, your appearance can distract prayer gathering. Do you know that why the people of Israel, when they wanted to go to God in corporate prayer, they put on sackcloth? You not read it before? They put on sackcloth. There's an appearance they come before God that attracts God's attention. You think physical appearance does not attract? It attracts. When the people of Israel sin against God and they want favor from God, they humble themselves in their appearance. The way you even come before God, God look at you and say, you are not serious. You are not serious. Our church, come and any kind of appearance. You distract them. The brother who is praying will just throw their neck and then you see something and you see that they have shifted his attention. Sometimes if the one who is leading prayers. God help all prayer leaders in the name of Jesus. Some of the reasons why some of us have stopped leading prayers at many gatherings. You see breast. You see cleavage. You see thighs. You think I'm going to cover? No. You think I'm going to? There's no euphemism in my mouth today. I'm saying it as it is. And when people fall under the anointing, I tell you, ushers, receive grace in the name of Jesus. Especially male ushers. Prophet of God, it's not easy for them. One day, we went for a particular program on campus, and I saw what the ushers were seeing. And I said, God, these ushers, they all need deliverance after service. Some of them, they have to help position certain things in certain place. I said, oh, goodness. And you are doing this to somebody's son. No, why are you wicked like that? knowing that you are going for prayer gathering, anything can happen, but you didn't mind your appearance. And come and pollute and dilute the atmosphere. Time is well spent. Number two, God pays attention to our modesty. Be modest. Look good, but let it be a modest appearance. Sometimes the way you even come, that's why the Obu is even about that. Even when you come for midweek service, look formal, look presentable. Don't say it's midweek service, so you wear chalo water, you wear anything and come. Are you serious? That is an act of, you're not conform. You're not someone who is conform. You're not decent. That's no decency. You think it doesn't affect? It does. If it was the president of Ghana you're going to meet, will you look like that way? You have no respect for God. Sometimes let's see God from that person's perspective. Even though he's our father, we choose to serve him acceptably without reverence and godly fear. Give reverence to God. Point number two, order of comportment. This one, this matter, hey, don't sleep on me now. Because this is where you are part of it. We do it a lot. To what extent do you comport yourself at prayer gatherings? Do you still use your phone when you are praying? Rabbi, what's up, message? I'm praying. I'll call you back. Yeah, church. Yeah, praying. Ooh. Starting from this Sunday, we will start seizing phones at church. Or better say, we will get a bag and collect all phones. Because when we are praying, you will distract us. You dilute the atmosphere. Be serious. Comportment. People cannot sit down and... How many hours do you spend at church and prayer gatherings? Sometimes even 1 hour prayer meeting, you will pick 10 calls. You don't know it is... The devil is trying to also distract you. If it's only you are distracting Christ, not a problem. You are distracting all of us. Sit. And this group of people, my squad, they are corporate. And they sit behind the instruments. You see, one of the worst places that this thing happens is worship gatherings. That's why I'm saying, my friend, the concert, because you do a lot of concerts over there. I'll say it. Let's be serious with God. Now, I don't see any of most of our worship gatherings programs do not have any representation of seriousness with God. Reverence. A program that is already, they've paid cameramen to take video of. You have also employed yourself to take videos. Why? When you close, won't you get a video or pictures you want? Even your phone cry is not even having better pixel like the camera they are using. Yet still, have you noticed this thing? Then you see, it is the secular people who do that. You brought this into church. I like Chief Losandi, he hates it. The moment you lift your phone, you tell her, put it down. Chief Losandi, he doesn't like it. And you see, most of these gospel artists entertaining it. You have become a celebrity. You are there to lead people into corporate gathering, to provoke corporate blessing, corporate prayer thing. And you are there in this kind of disorder. So instead of the person to connect with you and together climb with you, the person is watching you perform. Yes, I was here soon. These are the places that they use phone most. I will not come. I'll sit home. I'll find something better to do with my time. That is why of late, this is me. The people I listen to most, to Vlo Sunday, Pastor Nat, Dusin Weekend, a few of them. I'll listen to Edamriku, Esther Smith. I'll be blessed. My choice of Christian music I listen to there. If you sit in Caesar's car, you soak Theophilus from morning to evening by fire by tender. Most of them are not serious. There's no reverence. There's no reverence. That is an act of disorder. You're not comporting yourself in the presence of God. Those days, Church of Pentecost, they don't have any. Have you ever noticed somebody out of church who have come so, apart from Edamriku and Dan Hamilton, have you noticed that they have this kind of starting? Not that do not mean they don't have people who are worship leaders. Have you heard of So of mommy Grace Gakbeto. This song, Ma Bawu Nyuna Se. Oh, shoo, crum, 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 crum. Oh, too full anymore. She wrote that song. Oh, doom ni pa she mumma. Mi kru aye ma bruso. Ni penny na ye mede ma kuma. I know her very well. That is the point. They can lead worship and say, you come and you see things. Today we go for worship gatherings. They sing, then they clap and they pass the microphone to the next person. Come and perform. You two next, come and perform. Next person, what is the difference between us and the world? No order. If you want to enjoy worship, true worship, eh? True music worship, just find Church of Pentecost worship gathering and go. It's a recommendation I'm giving you. It's one of the places I like. One of the things I love about that church is their praise, their worship. Yeah, Jesus. They'll lead you into the throne. They'll lead you. And when you get there, they'll say, you go. That, you know, it's also part of comportment in the presence of God. We can't be silent in the presence of God. And that is where you know you can catch revelations. You can see that you can enter realms. Time. Number, another thing about comportment. Chatting, talk, and talking to others whilst prayer is going on. Very common. Very common. Yes, they see that we're talking about it. So, Colata, you are not serious. You are not helping us. You are distracting the atmosphere. Unnecessary movements. If we are being instructed that we should move around and pray, move around. Practice. If there's no such instruction, like for example, a place like this, learn to restrict your movement. Some of you want everybody to know that you are here. By the time you, take it easy. There should be order. Your movement should not distract another person. There are a lot to talk about this place of order. The next one. The next example of the cancer we have in the church is order of service. How is the whole prayer gathering organized? Now, I've seen more of performance than leading. Even in the prayer gatherings, people want to show how deep their voice is, how deep they are in Rhema. So do you know that now prayer gatherings, people can spend, if they are given 1 hour to lead prayers, they can spend 15 minutes. I'm not saying it's bad to explain the prayer point to, but why should you spend 90% of the time? And some even can go ahead to prophesy in the course of that. Do other things. That is disorder. You are not in line. You are totally not in line. You have just messed the whole atmosphere. It is prayer, lead prayers and go. Let us, we are here to pray. Let's pray. Raise your scripture. If they give you 1 hour, at least do maximum 20 minutes. Maximum 20 minutes. You should be able to help them to understand the prayer point and lead them to pray for the rest of the 40 minutes. Don't interrupt. Let's stop this kind of showmanship in prayer gatherings. Your voice is, you may have a deeper voice than Bishop Dak, but we are not seeing the same manifestation that is in his life. It tells you that it's not in the voice. These are the things I'm going, I can give many and many and many, but for time factor. Church, there are many things that our forefathers, the early church, benefited from corporate prayer. Corporate prayer gathering. There was a time that Paul was thrown out of a wall. The Bible said he was dead. The church surrounded him. He came back to life. The power that is generated in corporate prayer gatherings is not common. That is why the devil does not like us to be corporate, to always be together. That is why they don't want you to come to church. They tell you can be anywhere. It is because what we can do when we are together is mind-blowing. Today, I want you to go back and really, really, really work on yourself. Next time, when we come for prayer gatherings, we go for corporate prayer gatherings, the purpose to which we gather, the singleness of heart, you will not use disorder to mess it up. You will not use division, lack of love, to mess things up. So that when the Lord of hosts is in our midst, it shall be like Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. He said, no enchantment against Israel, nor divination shall stand against them, because the Lord of hosts is in their midst. When God is in our midst, oh Mandovra Shata Kapahaya, the Bible said, for wherever two or more are gathered, surely there's no enchantment against Jacob, neither there is any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God has wrought, because God is in their midst. The devil could not penetrate their camp because God is in their midst. He couldn't attack the individual because God is in their midst. How we sustain the presence of God is mostly at the corporate gatherings, at our frequent corporate gathering. That's why in the early church, almost every day, they gather together, either in the family or even they come to the church. It is in those days that we found out that church service was from Monday to Sunday. It is not this generation that we think church service on Sunday. I grew up in an environment that I went to church on Monday, I went to church on Tuesday, I went to church on Wednesday, even on to Sunday. Because in that corporate gathering, the kind of atmosphere generated cannot be done by an individual. But here is a generation who have no respect for corporate gathering. I pray that it shall be said that we have revived that atmosphere. That when we gather together to pray, the people will say that the Lord of hosts is in their midst. The shout of the king is in their midst. It is high time that we see this kind of this kind of testimony given by the world, that no enchantment shall stand against them. As for these people, the way they are so together, even when you try anything against them, you shall not stand. What did the scribes did against the early apostles? What did the Sirenes did to the early church? But the Bible said the church grew and multiplied, even in the face of adversity, because they were together as one, singleness of heart, and because of the empowerment they drew from corporate gathering. And in corporate prayer, nothing could stop the agenda of God. Not even for the individual. I pray for you that you will be a beneficiary of corporate prayer gathering. This year, God will teach us to pray. Be on your feet. Shaku vrasanda bahaya. Hey. Kolovro shedere. Manda brosika bahaya. See. I'm sharing these things with you so that when we begin to implement them, or when we are doing them, we shall receive testimonies like this. So when I was telling anything about corporate prayer, this scripture came to my mind. It's powerful. It said, the shout of the king is in their midst. And Jesus said, whatever two or more are gathered, they are in their midst. Come and try it in this church. Do you know why the enemy has not been able to infiltrate our camp so far? Because of our corporate gatherings. Oh, can you lift up your voice and pray? Lift up your voice and pray. To the one who practices that singleness of heart, oneness in spirit. Mande brakom vela satakahaya. Oh, rababababo shaya. Lift up your voice and pray.
Just breathe your name upon me.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.